Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At the White House, President Trump signed an executive order to create a federal task force and deploy troops to Memphis. The president says he wants to curb crime in the city like he did in Washington, D.C.
The effort will include the National Guard as well as the FBI, ATF, DEA, ICE, Homeland Security Investigations, and the U.S. Marshals.
President Trump also vowing to send National Guard troops to Chicago next. The president says he will attend the funeral of conservative activist Charlie Kirk in Phoenix on Sunday. It follows the fatal shooting of Kirk at Utah Valley University during an event. Investigators say suspect Tyler Robinson will be formally charged tomorrow. And investigators say they've collected evidence showing the suspect was studying maps of the university campus before the shooting. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent signaling the U.S. and China have reached a framework deal to switch to a U.S.-controlled ownership of TikTok. This is ABC News.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for Matt Mayer on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. A Nina man has been indicted for child pornography. Civic Media's Connie Fellman has more.
According to attorney Richard G. Frayling with the U.S. Department of Justice, the two-count indictment alleges that 26-year-old Jeffrey Haskell of Nina used minor children to produce child pornography on two different dates last January. If convicted of either charge, Haskell faces a mandatory 15 years in prison and up to 30 years imprisonment. Haskell could also be fined up to $250,000 per count and would be required to register as a sexual offender under state and federal law.
A nonprofit health insurer will end coverage for some customers in northeastern Wisconsin. The health insurer Common Ground will not offer coverage to Outagamie and Winnebago County residents in 2026. The move will impact nearly 7,000 residents in the two counties who are currently covered. Senator Kristen Dassler-Alfheim of the 18th Senate District says the change is tied to the federal reconciliation bill and to the chaos in Washington. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is urging those preparing for the fall hunting seasons to enroll now in a hunter education course. Joanne Krulatz has more.
Hunter education plays a vital role in keeping Wisconsin a safe place to hunt. Anyone born on or after January 1, 1973, must complete a hunter education course and have a hunter education certificate to purchase a hunting license in Wisconsin. The DNR offers multiple course options and locations so hunters can choose the best format for how and where they'd like to learn. Anyone under the age of 18 must take a course with an in-person, hands-on component.
I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News.
The Packers back in action. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers back at practice today, getting ready to head to Cleveland to face the Browns on Sunday. Baseball. It turns out that Bob Uecker, before he died, wrote a letter to the team that if the Brewers reached the playoffs, they could open and read it, which they did Saturday night in the clubhouse.
I got a letter today from Uke. Before we toast, I want to read it. Howdy, boys. Never a doubt you would get this invitation. You did it by believing. Really miss you guys, and I wish I was there. Things are good. The God Almighty picked me to be on his team up here, albeit I'm the third catcher. It's a great league. No day games after night games. No shadows. Told the big guy about you guys. Play hard every night. You're not afraid to play for each other. He's obviously very interested in a group with this uncommon goodness. Enjoy it, keep it light, and believe in each other.
That's Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for Matt and Mayer on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated storm or two this evening, otherwise mostly clear, warm, and muggy tonight with a low in the mid-50s. Sunny, hot, and humid tomorrow. Highs in the mid-80s. Chance of storms again Wednesday. Temperatures cool at the end of the week. Right now it's 80.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Nativerts Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, WGBW afternoon host and actor Eric Westfall joins in studio. Then Mental Health Warrior Film Festival founder Max Blaska joins. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
That is what makes democracy great. The power in a democracy is derived from the people. It resides in the people. These individuals that we have elected don't hold those seats in perpetuity.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Why are we cutting Medicaid, which is overwhelmingly popular with both Democrats and Republicans?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
You know what we need in the United States is more paperwork.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, if you missed our first hour of programming, not to worry. As soon as this show wraps at 6 p.m., you can find this show and all of my previous shows at civicmedia.us/shows or anywhere you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That was a great discussion because we were talking about this big question, especially in light of some of the extremist invective from the far right, including from our president and vice president, in the wake of Charlie Kirk's unacceptable assassination last week. We've been talking about, as the rhetoric and some of the policies from the right and from the MAGA movement seem to be heating up, how does a Democratic candidate for a statewide office, you know, like the Wisconsin governor, address what's happening in Washington, D.C., and some of this national political discourse and divisiveness, while back here at home in Wisconsin, appeal to Wisconsinites of all political backgrounds, right? Conservatives and liberals, far left progressives, and maybe some folks that voted for Donald Trump in the good faith belief that he would make their economic situation better, who may be a little disillusioned by now. How do we build a big tent to win in 2026, especially here in a state like Wisconsin? Well, I've got one of those candidates with me for the next half hour. I've been very much looking forward to talking with him. I will say to this next guest, his candidacy for governor, I didn't see that one coming. For a million miles away, nobody loves a political surprise more than me. So with all of that as preview, let me be very pleased and humbled to bring to the show Mr. Ryan Stiernad. He is candidate for Wisconsin governor, going to be in the Democratic primary. Welcome to the show, Mr. Stiernad. It's so nice to have you.
Thank you for having me, Maggie.
Okay, so tell us, what in God's name made you decide, like, oh, now is the time I think I should run for governor? You've been a successful beer vendor at what was Miller Park, going back to the county stadium days, what now is our beloved AmFam Field. What made you say, oh, you know, chuck that, I'm going to go run for governor?
Well, currently, I started a political action committee for the beer vendors called Drinks in the Seats. Right around the start of the 2017 season, it was springing off the heels of me being a union steward for the beer vendors at the time, and I thought I'd take things a step further by starting the political action committee to fight some upcoming plans the brewers had to expand the concession stands. Now, that sort of got off the ground more with the media than at the legislative level. I had minimal success doing anything with drinks in the seats. We can talk about that later. But it's actually been talked about publicly from 2017 on. People were thinking, well, this person, Ryan Sternad, might be thinking of a political office someday. And I had run for political office one time before. That was in 2000. It was when I was a Republican at that. But looking forward, going back to 2017, I was thinking, well, maybe I can run for something. It would be as a Democrat for the first time since I joined the Democratic Party in 2001. But I live out here in Western Maguanago, and we have a lot of Republicans in here. I do think it's a matter of time, however, where Waukesha County Executive would get more of a moderate or a lefty candidate sometime whenever Paul Farrell gets out of there. However, here's where it kind of hit me, and it's kind of a classic story. I remember back in 2018 when Tony Evers knocked Scott Walker out of there, and I was very happy about that. But it was starting to think that I was sitting at an overnight job, which I'm no longer at. I'm in a different overnight job. But besides that, I was working in a foundry at the time. And I was cleaning some metal in between our going to a foundry and making our pours. And it was I almost fell and hit my head. I did not. But the idea of me running for governor when Tony Evers retires could be not too far of a reach. And I even started to estimate when Tony Evers would probably stick around to. I was thinking 8 years. I knew he'd be 75 at that.
What was it about that fall that made you think you wanted to run for governor?
How it popped into my head, I was thinking like, wow, that's a big one. But then I really started to do the math and thinking. And because I've gotten some media attention with drinks in the seats already. And that was before the coronavirus pandemic. We'll get to that later, perhaps. But I was thinking, okay, governor, yeah. And I said this, you know, well, Maguanago, where I live, that's in a highly red district. Wisconsin is a swing district, or in this case, a swing state. And I was thinking, you know, hey, maybe I should go for it. And another thing, too, and this is important, if I were to be on the state assembly or state senate, I would have a hard time trying to fight my cohorts trying to get some things done in the legislature, because I have to convince a lot of people to get what I want passed. I kind of thought, well, how about an executive position like governor? And I think that would be better for me if I want to get something done for the state of Wisconsin, which I've lived here for 50 years and cared dearly about, that might be the route to go.
That is a remarkable story as to how you came to run for governor in this cycle. When you announced, you talked specifically about your support for organized labor and your opposition to Act 10, as well as right to work. Tell me a little bit about that. I understand you sort of had your own political epiphany tied to your becoming an organized worker some 25 years ago in and around 2000. Tell us a little bit about that and why you are so supportive of organized labor.
Yes, we'll go back to 2000. That was the only other time I ran for political office. And I ran against an incumbent, Jeff Plaley, who had since passed away recently. And I was living in Oak Creek at the time. That was the 21st State Assembly District. Had almost all of South Milwaukee, all of Oak Creek, and a few of the Milwaukee, City of Milwaukee, South Side wards. And as I was going around, you know, going through the framework of running for state legislature political office, I got to meet with some unions as they were interviewing me for possible endorsements. Now, they chose not to endorse me for one reason or the other. You know, they probably were looking like I was maybe, you know, kind of a token candidate. And I do recall going back there trying to knock off Jeff Plaley, an incumbent, someone back then. A lot of people were telling me there was really no chance a Republican would even win that that South Side district. So no one really gave me a chance back then. Although a side note to that, 3 years later in 2003, Mark Honnell won that as Republican, but things have changed. I don't want to get into that big story. But like I said, I was getting encouraged more and more from union people. You know, maybe I should switch sides after the election and become a Democrat. And they also liked the fact that I was all right on my third season of vending beer in the union, then known as Unite Here, with the union at the represents of beer vendors at Brewer Stadium, incidentally last year of County Stadium. And so after I lost the election, Christmas came and all that, 2001 came, and I made a decision that, okay, I'll go join the Democratic Party. And I joined the Democratic Party in March of 2001 because I really, and I was welcomed by a lot of established Democrats there, such as the late Senator Rick Grobschmidt and then Senator, prominent Senator Brian Burke.
Well, that is incredible. Did you want to finish, Ryan, just your thought about why you are today opposed to both Act 10 as well as the right to work legislation that was passed just a few years ago?
I thought when we went to right to work 9 years ago, 10 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah, it was 10 years ago, 10 years ago. I was actually embarrassed as a Wisconsin resident that we had to go that way. Wisconsin has always been regarded as a union state. It really has. And then that happened. It happened under the administration of Scott Walker and the Republicans. Act 10, I thought, was just, even though I was not a teacher, I thought it was just a slap in the face to the teachers. I was very, very disappointed with then Governor Scott Walker, who goes ahead right away. He'd even mentioned about it in the campaign. He did not have the guts to mention it in the campaign. And he surprises that on everyone. It was kind of a mild week in February of 2011 back then. And he goes and does it. And I was just upset.
I get it. I think like you, Mr. Sternad, so many people were caught off guard because as far as I recall, most of the indications during that campaign from Mr. Walker were that he wasn't going to broach that topic. So it did seem like a complete political sandbag. I want to ask you again a little bit more about some of your platform policies. We're going to share Mr. Sternad's website for his campaign in our show notes today. Ryan, why don't you tell folks what that is so they can find it themselves?
I can be reached at RyanSternadForGovernor.com.
There you've got it. And that is, again, spelled RyanSternad for Governor.com. You wanted to talk about COVID restrictions, and I wanted to give you the opportunity to address this and your position on those. Go ahead, sir.
That was a very hard time, but I took a very rare stance for a Democrat back then. I looked at COVID restrictions as employees being deprived of income opportunities. Yes, I was going against the operations of Governor Evers. I was going against the operations and initiatives of the unions. The unions appeared to be more concerned about health and safety measures. I looked at it like this. I was a vendor. I still am a vendor at the stadium. It was the start of March. We were all the vendors there were looking forward for opening day that year. We even had a couple of our season orientation meetings at the stadium. Everyone at the stadium was looking forward for opening day. And it was at the end of February where coronavirus was starting to go around the world. We had no thought of it. We had no thought about there'd be cancellations. Then all of a sudden, it was really March 11th where everything just hit and we're all running wild. We're canceling everything. Our fate was sealed from working a single game at that baseball season, the 2020 baseball season, before the end of March. And I looked at it like this. I stick up for people's jobs. I stick up for people who want to make money. I upset a lot of fellow Democrats with the stand I took. But losing money is losing money. And I just wish that the officials should have gotten second opinions from Dr. Fauci back then and shouldn't have been that quick to jump into decisions as far as having crowd size limits when then Health Secretary Designee Andrea Palm uttered the statement, we're limiting crowd sizes of 250 people. I was like, well, there goes opening day.
Hang on, folks. We're going to come back with Mr. Ryan Sternad. He is candidate for Wisconsin governor. He's going to be in the Democratic primary. We're going to continue our discussion about COVID response. We'll get to his support for the boys and ladies in blue, our police. We'll talk abortion and maybe even the environment. So don't go anywhere. All that and more coming up next with one of your Democratic primary candidates for governor right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
This update is sponsored by UW Credit Union. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you.
Following Brewers Sunday home games, all kids ages 14 and under can come down to the field and run the bases at American Family Field, courtesy of Aurora Healthcare. The post-game kids run the bases line begins along the first baseline on the field level.
Join UW Credit Union at uwcu.org. Insured by NCUA.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The American Bar Association has issued a final report and recommendations from its ABA Task Force for American Democracy. The report calls for major reform to elections, civics education, and the role of lawyers in defending constitutional governance. The project was chaired by former U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security Jay Johnson, a Democrat, and former U.S. Federal Judge J. Michael Luttig, a Republican. Among several reforms, the report calls for substantial state and federal investments in K-12 civics education. It recommends establishing citizen-led independent redistricting commissions to reduce the partisan and racial gerrymandering unfolding right now in Texas and other states. It encourages states to adopt open primaries, ranked choice voting, or fusion voting to reduce polarization and increase accountability. The report also calls for expanding automatic and same-day registration, standardizing early and mail voting procedures, and an election day holiday. For election workers, the report calls for depoliticizing selection of election officials and setting professional standards and codes of responsibility. It also calls for stronger protections of those workers and the funding to support it. For lawyers, ABA recommends more law school training and continuing ed on election law and affirming lawyers' responsibility to uphold the rule of law. We've linked the full report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at YouGotThis.USAging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Super excited this half hour to be joined by Democratic primary candidate for Wisconsin governor in 2026, Ryan Sternad. He's been telling us a bit about his view on the COVID-19 lockdowns back from, oh my goodness, now so many years ago. It seems like a blur, 2020, just 5 years ago. Hard to believe. And so, Ryan, I understand and certainly agree with the concern over people losing their livelihood, right? Like, those are the two values that we're concerned about, both public health and people's ability to earn a living. At what point, if COVID wasn't the sort of global pandemic that in your administration you would be comfortable shutting down public offices or issuing stay-at-home orders for, is there any type of public health emergency that you think would rise to the level requiring that sort of government intervention? Is there something like that, or is it simply not something that you would ever consider?
I would have to look at the seriousness of the situation. Yes, I mean, like what happened back in Milwaukee last month. We had floods, you know, and a lot of the elected officials did a very good job and were successful on getting President Donald Trump to finally give us some of the federal assistance funding on that. So I will look at everything as a case-by-case basis. But to go ahead and to just say, we're not going to have this and we're not going to have that, I would really have to put a lot more care into it before I were to make such a big, drastic, and responsible decision. It was my opinion that I think some of the elected officials jumped to conclusion when the coronavirus came.
And I guess my question, and I want to focus in on this because I think the question of what is public health and how do we best protect it and how do we expect our elected officials to make decisions? If the COVID-19 global pandemic was not a sufficient case to engage in any even short-term government or other shutdowns, whom would you talk to or what data or information would you seek that wasn't available to President Trump and Governor Evers at the time that this occurred in 2000? Specifically, what I'm asking you is this. It was basically at that early March time in 2020, it was the consensus that elected officials were hearing from the credentialed medical, immunology, and epidemiology specialists that they thought this was an airborne transmissal, that it lived on surfaces, and that it could kill people, and we had yet to have a vaccine developed for it. That was the state of information in March of 2020. I understand you to be saying you still wouldn't shut down businesses or any government functions. And my question to you is, if it's not the experts within our university systems and the epidemiologists and the global health experts that study this, whom exactly would you be talking to or asking about whether or not to engage in that sort of a government intervention, i.e. shutdowns?
Okay, two things here. One, you said about a minute ago about how they thought it was. I would have done a lot more than just talk to one doctor. Okay.
I guess what I'm saying is that's not what happened, sir. What happened was consultation with hundreds, if not thousands, of global medical professionals. And the consensus was at that time to shut these functions down, that they weren't sure how fast this would transmit and how many would die as a result. And so I'm asking you, whom did you base that conclusion on then or now that that was inappropriate based on the information that was being provided to the president and the governor at that time? Whom differently would you suggest that you would talk to? How many experts is sufficient?
I actually think the media was covering some things up on that whole coronavirus.
Okay.
What I've been hearing about, okay, about all these experts. I mean, really. I mean, to me, when I was sitting at home, and I'll even speak for my parents, they're just two other people. They're retired, they're going out west now. It seemed like Dr. Fauci was practically running the country for 2 or 3 years when the coronavirus has hit. I mean, it made me sick when I kept, I mean, I had to pray that Dr. Fauci would think before he would say things, because I really thought that a lot of these governors we've had, including Tony Evers, just took whatever Dr. Fauci would go ahead and say. And I was just like, and then there was some other talk about this, and I do not want to sound like a Republican, that there could have been some financial incentives involved with Dr. Fauci.
None of that was ever proven. That was largely just a conspiracy theory. My question to you is, whom do you think Dr. Fauci was speaking with? Do you think that was just his opinion, or do you think he was speaking with every available professional in the field at that time?
You're going to have an opinion. I mean, it all comes down to whatever comes out of Dr. Fauci's mouth. I mean, I'm sorry, but there should have been more people. You're suggesting there were more people involved. I will not dispute that. But it just, like I said, Dr. Fauci, there should have been more people involved. There should have been more people getting second opinions other than what Dr. Fauci had to say. What they were trying to do in China, and we never tried this in America. I put this on my personal Facebook page. They were starting to build new hospitals from scratch and trying to start that way. I'm sure they had some real strict lockdowns, more than America ever had. But we've never tried that thought about trying to build more hospitals similar to like a military unit out in the field. So, like I said,
Milwaukee County actually did build an emergency hospital on the state fairgrounds during the COVID-19 pandemic. Thank you so much. That was Mr. Ryan Stiernad, candidate for Wisconsin governor in 2026. He'll be on the Democratic primary ticket. Thank you for spending your time with us, Ryan. Folks, stick with us. I'll be right back. We'll talk a little Brewers, the 2-0 Packers, and a few things political on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. State Representative Dave Murphy represents a district that includes Grand Chute, Outagamie, New London, and Black Creek. It's close to, but does not include, Appleton, where he recently bought a house after selling his home in Greenville. Where exactly the assemblyman lives right now is unclear. According to the Post-Crescent, Murphy initially said he's staying with friends in Greenville while finishing out his term. He later said he plans to lease a property within his district while he's in the legislature. Wisconsin state law allows anyone to challenge the residency requirements of an elected official, and an Appleton resident has done just that, filing a complaint with the Attorney General, challenging whether Murphy still meets requirements to represent the 56th district. The UW-Oshkosh budget is back in the black, so says Provost Ed Martini, who announced at a convocation address late last month that UW-Oshkosh's proposed budget has no structural deficit. The biggest savings come from restructuring, adjusting retirement options, and overload expenditures. That's all according to reporting from the Advanced Titan, the independent student newspaper of the UW-Oshkosh campuses, which also reports that Chancellor Manohar Singh announced plans for new degree programs and an athletic team. One driver was killed and a passenger sustained major injuries in a two-vehicle accident Sunday morning in the township of Black Wolf. Winnebago County Sheriff's officials say the accident happened at the intersection of County Z and Country Club Road. The other driver sustained minor injuries. No identifications or details have been released. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. When not trying to push her bathwater soap on lonely men or selling her good jeans, Sid Sweeney does a little acting. The Sidster will play a boxer in the upcoming film Christy, based on the real life of boxer Christy Martin. Born in small town West Virginia, Christy Martin realized at a young age she was a good puncher and capitalized on that skill to become the best female boxer of the 90s. Despite not being released yet, the film has had a few eyes on it and is currently pulling a 61% on Rotten Tomatoes. Actor Joel Kinnaman is not a household name, but he has a solid fan base, and he seems perfect for a good crime story. So it's no surprise he is the choice to play the lead role in a new crime drama called Bishop. According to Deadline, Kinnaman plays Bishop Graves, a weathered, experienced detective who chases a killer preying on San Francisco's elite, only to find out that the crimes have a connection to his own father. The series is currently in development at Amazon MGM. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home to the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated storm or two this evening, otherwise mostly clear, warm, and muggy tonight with a low in the mid-50s. Sunny, hot, and humid tomorrow, highs in the mid-80s. Chance of storms again Wednesday. Temperatures cool at the end of the week. Right now it's 80.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Joe Zepecki.
As much as I disagree with Charlie Kirk, no American should ever face physical violence for what they believe. And maybe that's how we get past it and move forward, is just say, this is not about we can't get to a period of political violence. We're in one, and now we got to get out of it. And we have to recognize each other's humanity.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show.
If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we discuss the rise in death by suicide rates in Wisconsin and try to look into what the cause and the solution is. Also, the Brewers are back in action. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, you can take this program and all of our talk lineup with you everywhere you go by downloading the Civic Media app. You can get it for free wherever you get your favorite apps from. And you can call and text us using the app as well. Just one touch, which is pretty gosh darn convenient. And you will need it, especially because this Friday is our very last Free Ticket Friday Brewers ticket giveaway of the summer. I am so sad to see baseball coming to an end. Yep, you need the app to play. And again, our very last Free Ticket Friday is coming up on this Friday. Tune in and listen to the entire Civic Media lineup throughout the day for the keyword to win in that hour. That word you text in via the app, it will get you entered to win 4 club-level tickets to a Brewers game. As they continue to be the best team in baseball, we here at Civic Media want to give each and every one of you a chance to see them at AmFam Field free and on Civic Media's dime. Like these listeners, Chris from Sun Prairie has taken down a set of tickets. Kimberly from Wauwatosa, Terry in Cross Plains, Jim in Brookfield, Penny in Plainfield, Kevin in Madison, and Doc in Milwaukee. Congratulations to all of those winners. The next winner could be you, so download that Civic Media app. Get it ready to go this Friday. Again, you'll have 5 chances to enter to win those 4 Brewers club level tickets by listening to Civic Media all day Friday. I am super excited myself. Excited for the end of the season. Sad to see it finally here. All of our contesting rules, of course, can be found at civicmedia.us. We got one of my favorite callers in the wait list. Before I get to him, CJ, hang on. I'll put you on the air in just a second. Wanted to finish out the conversation with the candidate, Ryan Stiernad, the candidate for governor. We didn't have time to keep him around, but I just wanted to share a little bit more of his positions. He is pro-choice. He said, as he announced his candidacy, quote, any pregnant mother-to-be or mother who wants an abortion can have an abortion, end quote. On the environment, he said this, we do enough to support the environment anyways and opposes shutting down oil and gas pipelines because that is costing people's jobs. He lifted up a recycling bin and said, go to a store, get yourself one of these, just buy yourself one of these, $15 at your local hardware store, start recycling, boom, you're helping the environment right there. Again, thank you, Mr. Stiernad, for coming on the show to talk about this stuff with us. We really appreciate your time. We have got one of my favorite callers on the line. CJ, how are you doing, my friend? What do you got for us?
Thank you for taking my call, Maggie. I had a little temper tantrum the last time we talked, and I want to follow on Charlie Kirk's example. I'm going to have a dialogue with people that I disagree with. I saw him over a year ago exactly a year at the University of Wisconsin campus. Mm-hmm. And there was probably 1,500 to 2,000 people there. And the patience that man has, as people call him names or whatever, I'm kind of used to that myself. But, you know, I think it's absolutely no one side owns. I got a chance to talk to Tom Hartman today, And I pretty much what I said was no party owns the assassination or political violence. But this, a man who was gunned down defending the First Amendment. And one thing, he was a Christian man, which I consider myself a Christian, went to church this weekend, and you would not believe the numbers at those services. And most of them were young kids looking for positive influence and messages. And I had a chance to say that to Tom Hartman, and not to mention, on the Sunday morning, I watch them all, CNN, MSNBC. I watch every news program I can. There was one of his boarder on the Turning Point USA board said they've had 37,250 inquiries for new chapters. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Pro-American, pro-Christian values, family values, and to watch this in real time and have people cheer it on. I don't care what your ideology is. I think you know where I stand on that, and I've heard you talk about it. Shouldn't happen. You're in the public eye. We've met. I really enjoy our conversations. You're a beautiful lady. You're smart. You're funny. And I appreciate you giving me the time to honor him, because people that don't know him in a little snippet that says he doesn't believe empathy need to do more research, because they only take a little snippet of that quote. And I challenge you to read that entire quote where he compares empathy to sympathy. So I'm begging you to present both sides on this, because it's shameful. Whether it was the congresswoman that was shot through the door with her husband, disgusting, absolutely disgusting. So again, we're lucky to be Americans. The First Amendment allows you to say whatever you want to say, and me also. We may not see eye to eye. I think we see eye to eye on more things than sometimes we show in a 30-second to 1-minute discussion. But thank you so much, because I said I wasn't going to call you anymore. And then I started to listen to Charlie Kirk, and I watched him. I saw him. I got to ask him a question at the university. They were all out of hats.
CJ, we got to leave it there. Gave you as much time as I could. I agreed with CJ's statement that as Americans, we have a speech right. We have a speech right. But let's not mistake a speech right for acceptance or tolerance. Excuse me, I shouldn't say tolerance. For acceptance of the messages. My defense of Charlie Kirk's right to say vile, hateful things is never going to be dependent on what someone's saying. He has the right to say those things. Again, he's claimed that black women's brains don't process as fast. Women are property to their husbands. MLK wasn't a nice guy. The Civil Rights Act was a mistake. That gay pride is a sin. That having gun rights means accepting a certain amount of gun. I mean, he said all these things. He was repeatedly accused of anti-Semitism by the Anti-Defamation League. I'm just going to read this again. This is a quote from Robert Jones Jr. We can disagree and still love each other unless your disagreement is rooted in my oppression and denial of my humanity and right to exist. We can disagree and still love each other
unless your disagreement is rooted in my oppression and denial of my humanity and right to exist, unless you want me to be treated differently under the laws, unless you choose to strip rights away from me because of my beliefs or who I am. So Charlie Kirk should never have been assassinated. He should be able to say whatever vile, hateful things he wants to say. Ollie from the Northwoods, go ahead. You're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Hi, I just listened to the gentleman caller, and I can't count how many times he said everyone has the right for freedom of speech, yet the Republicans are going out and saying that if you spoke out, you should be fired. People are being fired for their freedom of speech about saying, merely saying
about Mr. Kirk.
Correct. Yes. Or saying something about him being shot. I don't think that was right. But I also don't think that one-sided freedom of speech is right either.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no way to make this square, right? If the response to an assassination is to call for more violence and a civil war and declare that an entire tens and potentially over 100 million people that are citizens of this country are evil and vile, and then to suppress speech on the grave of a man who, at least ostensibly, in its kindest view, stood for free speech. I mean, the first thing I said when I got on the air the day that he was shot and killed, I said he was standing up there debating people who disagreed with him. And again, I think I said on that day, he said some vile and disgusting things. But he stood up there and had the freaking argument. By the way, one of the things that Charlie Kirk said at one point in time was that 12-year-olds should watch the public execution of Trump's governmental opponents, and some of those killings should be by guillotine. Just saying. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Gary from Sussex, hello, friend. How are you? What you got for us?
Well, I'm following one of your favorite guys. recently. So I hope you're in a good mood and you're not going to start tearing my head off, okay? The thing is, I've been listening a lot. I don't call as much as anymore, but the people, what they're saying is that Charlie Kirk says a lot of hate, okay? Now, maybe he does in different people's opinion, and the thing is that there's a lot of stuff that is absolutely not true. Like, one guy called up on the Todd Alba Show and said that he's against women voting, which is nuts. I mean, that's not
true. He once made a statement that said that basically women should be the property of their husbands. If you're property, you don't get to vote. And yes, Charlie Kirk has said things that were broadly supportive of the abolition of the 19th Amendment. Here's the problem, Gary. Both universes of people live in their own bubbles. And the question is, which bubble is closer to the actual facts on the ground? And my respectful argument to you is, if you hear someone saying that Charlie Kirk said something like that, and you're like, hey, that can't possibly be true because that was offensive, take the 5-10 minutes on the internet and go check it out, because there's tape of him saying all this stuff.
He
actually said that, Gary, would you think he's not some guy that you should be listening to?
Charlie Kirk, as far as I'm concerned, is a Christian man. And Christian, God tells us that we are to love the Jewish people. I love the Jewish people. I do not believe.
But if I played you tape of Charlie Kirk saying all kinds of anti-Semitic things, would that change your opinion of whether or not he is actually a man of God and a Christian and whether you should listen to him? Would it change your mind? Hang on, Gary. We're going to continue this discussion. We got to take a quick breath here. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Don't go anywhere and give us a call, 855-752-4842. This is the...
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
With locations in Appleton and Oshkosh, Insight Eye Care has been serving the Fox Valley since 1972, offering comprehensive eye care services. Their doctors also share a special interest in treating chronic dry eye disease, providing specialty contact lenses, and expert pediatric eye care. Find Insight Eye Care on North Sawyer Street in Oshkosh and Chain Drive in Appleton. Improving lives by improving sight with quality eye care for everyone in your family. Insight Eye Care. Visit WIinsight.com to schedule your eye exam today.
Do you or someone you know have disabilities but are challenged finding resources and guidance? Focus on Freedom provides support for children and adults with diverse abilities with a variety of customized services such as one-to-one supports for individuals like daily living skills and training, along with personalized caregiver supports like foundations and caregiving seminars. Focus on Freedom empowers individuals to reach their goals and live as independently as possible, serving residents throughout Winnebago, Outagamie, and Fond du Lac counties. Find us at focusonfreedom.org, empowering independence, transforming lives.
Hi, my name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires. I'm also the author of a new book, Burned by Billionaires, How Concentrated Wealth and Power Are Ruining Our Lives and Planet. This summer proved to all of us that climate change is real and it is deadly. And I'm here to tell you that a small group of billionaires are making it worse. Did you know that billionaire Jeff Bezos' wife, Lauren Sanchez, emitted more carbon in her 11-minute Blue Origin spaceflight than the average person emits in a lifetime? Did you know that the average superyacht produces as much carbon emissions as 1,500 regular vehicles? And that private jets emit 10 to 20 times more pollutants per passenger than commercial airplanes? So who should pay for climate change? People like you who recycle and turn off the lights when you leave the room, or billionaires who take joyrides in space? Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Does Trump's big bill end taxes on tips and overtime? No. President Donald Trump's new law exempts certain tip and overtime income from federal tax. But the deductions expire in 2028 and come with limits. Workers earning under $150,000 can deduct up to $25,000 in tips and $12,500 in overtime. Social Security, Medicare, and state taxes still apply. The Tax Policy Center says 2% of households will benefit from the tip provision, saving $1,800. The White House estimates $1,400 in average annual savings from the overtime deduction. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is our last segment of the day. Get in your thoughts and comments, 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. I was having a civic discourse with my friend Gary from Sussex. We were talking about Charlie Kirk. And Gary, my question to you was, do you ever go and check what people say Charlie Kirk said? Have you ever looked at, for example, some of the accounts of the professors that he targeted on his professor watch list and the death threats and hate mails and job losses and racist, awful messages that have tracked them from place of business to place of business and from home to home? Have you checked that stuff out?
Well, first of all, I'm 73 years old.
Okay.
And I don't follow Charlie Kirk that much. Maybe in the last 5 years I have. Previous to that, no. Ben Shapiro and him would go to all these colleges all the time. And I, you know, didn't really follow it at all. I knew a lot about him. I learned tons about him after he's been killed. And one of the things that I truly believe is people can say things 2 or 3 years ago, 6 months ago, And they do have a right to change their mind in what they say. They do make mistakes and apologize.
Yeah, but Charlie Kirk never did that. He never disavowed any of the stuff that I'm quoting to you. He was saying this up until the day I died. And by the way, Gary, I said to friends of mine this weekend, the thing that I think is the worst about this is not just that political violence is the norm. It's the fact that Charlie Kirk was deprived the opportunity to change his mind, to open his heart, to ask forgiveness for the group, from the groups of people that he has advocated active oppression of, including women and people of color and the gay community as a whole. I am saddened that he will never have the opportunity to seek forgiveness for that oppressive speech from the God he claimed to love. I mourn that opportunity for him. Assassination takes away from all of us the right to seek forgiveness and to change our minds. That is a true tragedy, that Charlie can never change his mind because he never disavowed any of that stuff, Gary.
Well, I understand that in some people's opinion, and I do believe that some of the stuff that he did say was maybe hateful, but it's the way, first of all, I'm a Christian, and I know what the Bible says about gay marriage and homosexuality. So if somebody would ask me, what do you think about it? I'd say, well, it's wrong. Now, is that hate speech, Maggie? I wouldn't sit there and drill about it and say, oh, you're going to
hell. If we're talking about your religious beliefs, but if those religious beliefs translated into different treatment of persons that worked for you on the job, I would say that that's not a good thing. I think people repeating their religious beliefs as if that has to be the belief for everybody else and the justification for different treatment of persons under the law, that that's an active harm and actually something that Jesus would probably have a problem with. That we shouldn't be defining rights based upon one group's religious beliefs.
Well, okay, but this is his opinion. He said before...
It's his opinion that he's advocating for government policy. He was one of the president's closest advisors. These weren't hypotheticals. These are realities. We see these things happening today. Donald Trump and J.D. Vance name-checking nonprofit organizations that don't politically align with Donald Trump's movement.
Well, Maggie, the thing is, what I look at on this assassination is, and I'm sure you heard this from a lot of people, conservative MAGA people, that they assassinate my future and your future president. He would have been president 2032 or 2036. I really believe it. And to be present.
Well, your belief doesn't make that fact. And whether or not that would have come to pass is a complete hypothetical. Bobby Kennedy was murdered, assassinated. So was MLK, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X. You want to stack up the amount of liberal Democrats that have been assassinated. Like the lists aren't comparable, but the point is we shouldn't be comparing lists in the first place. We shouldn't be comparing degree of hate speech that is acceptable. We should be able to condemn both the assassination and the hate speech that Charlie Kirk profited off of for decades. Can't we do both things? I will defend his right to say all of that stuff. And to be provocative and to go onto a campus and have those debates. I will condemn the assassin, who, by the way, was not a Democrat. He was like a 4chan, 8chan trolling griper nihilist who's about as far right wing as you can possibly get. But I'm not going to act like Charlie Kirk wasn't someone who trafficked in bigotry.
He was a nutcase. He had mental problems. And we all agree. I don't blame the Democrats for what he did. I blame him. He's a nutcase. And he's been kind of brainwashed by Antifa or whoever else he's hanging out with.
Groypers are a far right group. Antifa is a far left group. The groups have completely different ideologies and nothing to do with one another.
Maggie, I like you and I respect you and I like listening to you. And I like how you handle CJ because you let him talk. Nobody else really does that, so I really respect you. I disagree with a lot of things you say, but not everything you say. And you're a good person, and I believe that what you said in the beginning by saying it's sad and it's wrong that he was killed, I would never listen to you again if you'd have went out there and thanked you, if you'd have said, thank God he's dead. I would never listen.
never in a million days, he's deprived of the opportunity to change his mind and continue to have a discussion. Gary, you'll always have a place on my caller list. Folks, if I didn't get to you, I'm sorry. It's all about these great discussions and real news here at Civic Media. Thanks for being with me. I'll be back tomorrow. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But remember, it is always better when we stand together peacefully.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The suspect who turned himself in following the fatal shooting of conservative activist Charlie Kirk is expected to be formally charged tomorrow. ABC's News legal contributor Brian Buckmeyer says Tyler Robinson could be facing federal hate crime charges.
You can't have a hate crime based on politics, but Charlie Kirk's religion and politics are so intertwined. I could see an argument for this being a motivated based on his religion and the mixture of his politics. The federal government could make a hate crime allowing for murder as well.
Kirk's funeral and memorial are set for Sunday in Phoenix. President Trump says he will attend. The president at the White House signing an executive order to deploy federal resources, including National Guard troops, to Memphis. He says to curb crime like he did in D.C. In San Francisco, a chef was arrested last week for allegedly robbing three banks on the same day. Authorities say 62-year-old Valentino Lucan is facing bank robbery charges for passing notes to bank tellers demanding money. This is ABC.